Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Konser, and today we're talking about women in animation, specifically the Portland chapter of the nonprofit organization Women in Animation, which will be hosting a panel discussion at this year's Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. This is a five-day event that will be taking place at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry from August 21st through August 25th. And we're joined by Sarah Logan Hofstein and Christina Palomino. Sarah is a freelance producer and a computer graphics production specialist. Christina is an assistant production manager on feature films with a background in stop motion and CGI. Sarah and Christina, great to have you with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Now, Sarah, Christina, tell us a little bit about Women in Animation. This is a global nonprofit that advocates for gender equity in the animation, visual effects, and gaming industries.
Absolutely. So, as we all know, entertainment and animation seem pretty elusive to those not within the industry, but there are actually hundreds of people working behind the scenes to create the shows you view and love every day. Animation is no different to any of those other work organizations. It's still very heavily male-dominated. Women and those of underrepresented gender identities struggle every day to find opportunities, and when on the inside, they struggle towards upward growth. WEA helps to support those folks by providing them with community support, a plethora of opportunities to grow their skill sets, and most importantly, opportunities to network within the industry. I think networking has been the backbone of our career growth for both Sarah and I, and we want to just help the community here be able to learn how to do that themselves.
Okay, well, this panel discussion is called Breaking into Animation, and so it sounds like you're going to bring some of your own background, some of your own secrets into helping younger folks or folks who are interested in moving into the creative arts.
Absolutely. And we're going to have studio representatives from studios in the Portland area there as well to answer questions and give, you know, audience members some tips and tricks and insight on how their studios are hiring today.
Yeah, we'll have people from Leica, Shadow Machine, Oddbot, and we're hoping a couple others. So let's see how it goes.
So what would be some of the tips that you would use nowadays to break into animation? I mean, it's not enough now to show up with a portfolio of drawings, certainly.
This is something I deal with all the time as a mentor within the Women in Animation organization. We're just wrapping up a 16-week mentorship program right now, in fact, about breaking into VFX production. And this is something that I like to emphasize to my mentees quite often is how to actually break in, because it's really difficult. And the thing that I always say is we need to develop our soft skills. And the way you develop your soft skills is through networking. I can't speak so much as to how to break in if you were an artist, but for production, soft skills is top of the game, because you can learn everything else on the job, but soft skills are very difficult to come by. And I think it's one of the ways that you have your best opportunity to break in, and you develop those through networking. And so it goes hand in hand that networking is one of the best things you can do, actually, to get your name in front of people and to say, hey, this is what I want to do. And it's how I get my jobs these days, is through networking.
Absolutely. I feel more comfortable speaking out about artists looking to get into the industry as well, only because a majority of my teams are artist-based, and you know, I have to work with artists on a daily basis to update their schedules, make sure they're on track with their daily tasks, et cetera. So for artists trying to get into the industry right now, yes, it's great to have a well thought out and planned portfolio, you know, as long as your work can speak for itself in some spaces. But nowadays, we're looking for artists who are, one, bring talent to the table, and two, are open to criticism, are able to work with a team of folks who are also trying to get the job done. It's not enough to be talented anymore. You have to show that you're a team player.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, I meet with my mentees every week, and they'll have things to do, like, oh, go and contact like one person and try to like network with them and try to, you know, have an informational interview, or, you know, go to one event this week, please. And I hope I'm helping, but it is really tough to develop those skills. And it takes a long time. I mean, my old boss, Molly Pabian, love her. She's my mentor. And she thinks I'm the best like networker she's ever seen. And she thinks that she can learn from me. And I find it shocking, because I mean, I'm in my mid-30s, right? And like, I think it took me at least my full 20s, if not longer than that, to develop good networking skills just from constantly going to event after event. But it is super, super important these days for that job. Like my job at Bungie, it's because I was at a VFX networking event down in LA and I ran into an old colleague and she was a producer at Bungie. And then she called me up like 2 weeks later and she's like, "Hey, we need somebody. Are you available?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah, I'm available." And I said, "Am I getting this because like I went to that networking event?" She's like, 100%. That's the reason.
Absolutely. You know, I think we all have similar stories. In my case, working at Digital Domain, it was because of one of my mentors who I worked with at Leica, who is currently a producer on the project that I'm working on there with DD. She asked if I was interested, knew I was free, and wanted to jump on right away. Like it is truly who you know. And I'm in my late 20s, but I'm still growing my social skills. I still have to force myself out of bed and put on real clothes to see people today. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And I feel like it's gotten harder to network since the pandemic. Like we're just like more tired. We don't want to get out, you know? And so I just like, no, I put it on my calendar. I start psyching myself up like the night before being like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to go network. And that's it. And then I go and I sleep for the next like 2 days because networking takes so much out of me.
Yeah, a lot of artists are introverts. So these are definitely learned skills. You know, artists are not born politicians.
Yeah.
They've got talent and don't know what to do with it. A plethora of talent, don't know what to do with it. But your social skills go a long way.
Yeah. And it's also why we like to have these network, not just networking events, but these meetups, because it does give people a really low stakes way to practice their social skills, right? And it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Both Sarah and I there have been a lot of events that we've hosted where there are younger folks who don't have a lot of, you know, social skills built up, and you can tell very quickly that they need support, even in just your conversation with them. Us being aware of that and helping them through those conversations, giving them a safe place to practice is really invaluable, if we're being honest here. Like it's so uncomfortable to meet new people. And like you said, Sarah, like now post pandemic, if you can say that, it's even more scary to get out there and, you know, be vulnerable and speak about who you are and tell somebody else who you are. We provide them with a safe place to do that, and where they're not going to feel judged. This isn't a job interview. This is a place to grow.
Yeah.
A place to, you know, learn a new skill set.
I think of Christine and myself as like community connectors. So it is our job as your co-lead to know tons of people in this community, right? So when someone new comes in or someone who's a student or shy, you know, I can take them and I say, "Hey, nice to meet you. What's your name? What do you do? What are you interested in?" And then I can start connecting them with people who are at that same event. And I'll go up to them and say, "Hey, this is my friend so-and-so. This person has a similar job that you're looking to do. You know, why don't you guys connect and you can learn from each other?" That is, I feel like probably about half of what we do at WEA is just as community connectors and giving people that space to actually meet who they need to meet to grow their careers.
Absolutely.
Now, I was reading that about a third of the creative jobs in animation are held by women, and that's actually like a 50% increase from 10 years ago. I would expect that it's even more challenging to get gender equity in the industries that are traditionally male, like gaming and visual effects.
Yeah, absolutely. Having worked in visual effects prior to this, I can say that, yes, it is still heavily male dominated. And a majority of the time you have to stand up for yourself. You have to make your presence known, and you have to know what you're talking about. So do your research, do your homework, study, know the technology that you're working with, know the medium you're working with, and just do your best.
I actually feel really blessed that I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of amazing women in my career. When I was working on a feature film called Wendell and Wild, our VFX producer and the comp supervisor were both women. And then when I moved over to vendor side at Crafty Apes, our head of studio was a woman. Our CEO is a woman. The first VFX supervisor I got to work with was a woman. And it was, as well as the first VFX producer I worked with was a woman. And it was just eye-opening because I traditionally there were times I would be the only woman in the studio. I still see majority male in the artistic side, but I'm no longer the only woman in the studio, and that's amazing.
Production's definitely flourishing.
Yeah.
So going on your website, the Women in Animation website, there's a lot of interesting mission and vision statements. One of the phrases that really stands out is, we reject the notion of it's always been done this way. So definitely one of your intentions is to innovate.
Absolutely. That statement gives me chills too, because I feel like every studio that I've been at, there's always a moment where you're trying to, you know, make a little bit of change, make something easier for your teams. And someone always gives the response, this is always how it's been done. This is the only way we do it. This is how we're going to do it moving forward. And aren't someone who's not interested in the ways you suggest improving the pipeline or improving the process that you're going through. Having Wea mention that statement is really powerful for those reasons. Like, we want people on your team who are there to put in the hard work to improve your processes, to make your artists' lives easier, to make your life easier, and to make the process for the entire team as fun and exciting as possible. Like, we're making movies, we're making shows. We love what we do, and we want to participate and make it better.
And I have to add on to that in a broader sense. And I hate using the term Hollywood, but the perception of Hollywood abroad can have far-reaching effects. For example, I used to work in Europe, and I had an interview at a company, and they said, we like to do things the Hollywood way and not hire women. They had this perception that in order to succeed on a larger scale, they needed to only hire men. And I was just, this was something I never experienced in the US. I mean, I've been working in this industry a long time. I had never had someone say to me, you're a woman, we won't hire you because you're a woman. And I just was shocked that the film industry in the US had had that reach outside of the US. And it was just eye-opening to me.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Because like we said earlier, Women in Animation is a global organization. And just a little while ago, earlier this summer, there was a big summit of women in animation at the Annecy International Animation Film Festival in France. And it would seem that, at least to my thoughts, folks in France would have a good grasp on equity.
Yeah, I mean, I love Annecy. I had a film premiere there 3 years ago called Welcome to Sieg Heilkirchen, on which I was a production manager. And it's a great festival, and it is the home of animation. It was the birthplace of ASIFA. And yeah, France has a good view on equity, I believe.
I think it'll always depend on your studio structure. You know, animation is big, but it's still a very small community of folks. That's who you know. That's why networking is such a powerful skill to have in your back pocket. So these people are traveling, and you know, our colleagues are going from country to country, from state to state, working, building new studios. And if there's a negative connotation that they bring with them, they bring it to that studio. So each place you go to, you need to make sure that the environment that you're creating is something that you want to work with.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, SW Conser. And we're talking today with Christina Palomino and Sarah Hofstein. They're with the Portland chapter of Women in Animation, and they'll be hosting a panel at the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. Well, another part of the Women in Animation mission is, it says, we purposefully seek out collaborations. And that does seem to be something that's well at home in Portland. Well, one of the documentaries that will be screening at the Festival of Cinema is called History, Mystery, and Odyssey. It profiles six Portland animators, including Joanna Priestley. And Joanna says that animated films are always laboratories of collaborative effort.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. The same shot will be touched by a ton of artists and a ton of people, a single shot. You know, it could be five people easily. And there's no way you would have that shot completed without all those people working on it. So it's absolutely a collaborative medium. But, you know, I can think of times where there was this fantastic Spanish director I was working with. I was working with him on a TV show. He has such a clear vision for every TV show, for every episode. Every single one was a knock out of the park. But there was this one episode I remember we were reviewing shot by shot. And once we finally cut it together, we thought, oh my goodness, this is completely uneven. This is not at all like what he was going for, and we had to redo the whole episode. But it's rare that I find that happens. It usually is an amazing collaboration between the supervisors and the director to have a cohesive view.
In addition to client-side work, like you're saying, Sarah, supervisors and directors here, you have to take into consideration outsourced vendors as well who are participating in this process to make the show like come to life. Most recently, working at Refuge VFX, a studio here in Hollywood, Oregon, or Hollywood, Portland, I guess. I'm not sure how you designate that. But Refuge VFX, a studio located here in Portland, we were working on a couple of different shows, one Shogun, Emmy nominated for their work on Shogun Now. We had a lot of collaboration within our studio teams to make sure that everything was cohesive, working and looking over context sheets for every shot that we were going through, making sure everything was clean from shot to shot. And, you know, you're submitting that work to your clients to review. You need to come with your best foot forward when you speak to your clients and make sure everything's as cohesive as possible. And then let clients take it and review it and take their time and make sure everything's cohesive with the work that they've submitted to other outsourced vendors as well. There's so much collaboration going on behind the scenes to make this work.
Well, we mentioned that Women in Animation is a global organization. And how did the Portland chapter get started? How active have you been?
Ooh, fun question. Well, I moved here in 2019 from Queens, New York. I was a part or a member of WIA in New York, and I loved it. I loved the camaraderie. I loved the networking and the ability to, you know, screen films ahead of time and get to speak with directors and you know, teams of artists behind the scenes. So when I moved to Portland pre-pandemic, I was dropped into a world that I was not used to. I didn't know anybody. And I thought, wow, I would love for WIA to participate in this community. It's a fantastic place. We have a plethora of animation and stop motion available to us. Like, why not? Why aren't we meeting up? So I reached out to my WIA global community, and they were happy to help us set up a chapter here in Portland. That was in, I want to say, 2020, just before the pandemic hit. Obviously, work was pretty slow during that time. But most recently, last year, we adopted Sarah here. She's been fantastic. In December of last year, 2023, she became my co-lead here. And since then, we've been actively planning events each month, sponsored events, and reaching out to the community to make things happen, to make sure people are meeting up and networking and give our community here opportunities to find work, to meet people, and to build their careers.
Yeah, I have to add that I moved here in December of 2021 from Europe, and I don't remember when that first event was that I attended, but it was at the Pink Rabbit, and it was packed wall to wall with people from Shadow Machine, from Leica, from Netflix, from Refuge. It was incredible. I was so excited to get involved, and that's actually where I met Christina. And then soon after that, I was actually elected to the board of Women in Film here in Portland, which I'm still on the board. And I just started dragging Christina to everything that I could and said, we're going to partner up and we're going to do all these amazing things. And over the years, we've done some really incredible things with the Portland chapter. We did a Intro to ShotGrid event at Autodesk. ShotGrid is now called Flow Production Tracking. We've had joint meetups, and we're so excited about what's happening here in Portland. And I'm so excited as well to be co-lead with Christina. Rose City Comic Con will be coming up, and I dragged her along to that last year to have a booth and a panel. And this year we're doing two panels and a booth as well.
Well, we mentioned the Breaking Into Animation panel discussion that'll be taking place at the Festival of Cinema. And that's on August 24th. So you have other events pretty much every month or so.
Absolutely. We're trying to keep them lined up, make sure people have community and find folks they relate to in animation here.
Yeah, we try to do something at least once a month. Recently, we hosted a storyboarding workshop with Emmy winner Matt Danner in partnership with Oddbot Animation and Wacom. That was a mid-career event for storyboard artists and people who want to maybe move over to CG television storyboarding. Maybe they have feature film experience or 2D animation experience, but are looking to grow their skill set. So that was what we did pretty recently, and it was a fantastic event.
Absolutely. Not only did it give attendees an opportunity to show off their work and learn, but it gave them opportunity to network with the studio as well and make their presence known.
So, Christina, you mentioned coming from New York, and Sarah, you came over from Europe. Does Portland have the reputation as an animation center that we sometimes think of ourselves as having?
Ooh, absolutely. Go ahead, Sarah.
I had known for a few years prior that I was probably moving to Portland, and I had a little Hanzo figurine on my desk at my animation studio in Europe, just as to keep my sights set on applying to Leica. Have not worked at Leica. That's okay. I'm very friendly with them. But Leica, you know, Will Vinton walked so that Leica could run, right? And Shadow Machine has also taken the baton and just blown it out of the park with their Oscar-winning film, Pinocchio. And it's the reason why Wendell and Wild came up here for Netflix. It was not made at Leica. It was not made at Shadow Machine. They built their own studio with Henry Selick, and we made it up here. So yes, Portland has an incredible reputation as the home of stop motion animation.
Absolutely. Moving here from New York was definitely a challenge for me initially, but I moved here for Leica. I moved here when I had a job opportunity, and I left everything to be here and to participate in this fantastic world of stop motion animation. I grew up watching, you know, Henry Selick's Nightmare Before Christmas, and immediately fell in love and was entranced with the medium. This is what I've been wanting to do my whole life. And I feel that, and I feel that of the community members here, I know people here want to work and they absolutely love it.
And with WIA, we are hoping to expand the animation styles that are located in Portland. Parts of, for example, Six Point Harness have moved up to Oregon. Oddbot Animation is in Oregon. Refuge VFX is in Oregon. We're really hoping to expand the artistic capabilities and opportunities that are here in Portland.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about your hopes for the future. You know, you were on the website, it mentions that the presence of women in animation has really expanded in the last 10 years. What's your vision for the next 10 years?
Oh, fun.
What is it, 50-50 by 2025? Is that what the website says?
Oh, well, that's correct.
Got 1 year to go.
Okay. 1 year and 17%. Not too hard, right?
I think, Conch, for the most part, we're looking about a year in advance, but 10 years from now is a lot. A majority of our goals are about community building. Like I said, for a majority of women and those of underrepresented gender identities, it can be lonely here trying to find your place. What WIA brings to the table is, you know, are people of like minds, people who love what you love, people who love animation, film, and television. And you have the opportunity to bond with these folks. You're going to see them for the rest of your career. If you're lucky, you're going to work with them. You're going to work with their friends. And we want people to know that this community is small, but it's growing. And we want them to enjoy every minute of it.
I have some pretty lofty goals. Tim Williams isn't going to be too happy with me for saying this. He's the head of Oregon Film. We do have really great tax incentives, financial incentives for productions to move up here. But of course, I would always love for them to be expanded even more, to really encourage more studios to move up here. I want any artist or production person who lives here to always be working, to have the opportunity to have a long career, to never have downtime if they don't want it. And I want people to think, you know, there are other cities that are big in animation in the US, and I want Portland to be one of those places where they don't just think of stop motion. They think, oh, what's a great place with a ton of talent that we can pull from? Oh, Portland, let's go to Portland.
Mm-hmm. Since the pandemic too, a lot of studios have decided to hire remotely. A lot of folks have moved out of these larger cities and are looking for stable places to raise families, to continue their lives, and hopefully continue to build their career. Portland has become that place. It's close enough to the West Coast that you can, you know, work remotely for these large studios and still enjoy your life and in your downtime.
Yeah, I mean, it should be noted that Christina and I have not worked for a Portland-based studio in quite a long time.
And we still get the perks of participating in this community and helping others who are living and working here.
All right. So Women in Animation, Portland chapter, will be at the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. The festival is going to be happening for 5 days in August, the 21st through the 25th. Let me give a quick rundown of some of the highlights. We mentioned Joanna Priestley, the queen of indie animation, as Bill Plimpton calls her. Joanna will host an event on Friday, August 23rd. She'll be presenting a retrospective of her work, ranging from the 1980s until today. Speaking of Bill Plimpton, on Thursday, August 22nd, the Oregon premiere of Bill's new animated feature, Slide, will be followed by a reception where autographs and drawings will be available. On Sunday, August 25th, the festival will present screenings of virtual reality films with the assistance of Worlds Beyond VR. For animation historians, there's the West Coast premiere of newly restored 4K cartoons created by Max Fleischer. That's on Wednesday, August 21st. Fleischer's studio brought to life such classic characters as Betty Boop, Popeye, and Superman. They also pioneered technological innovations, including rotoscope animation and the stereo optical process. And of course, there's the panel discussion and reception in conjunction with Women in Animation Portland, sponsored by the Portland Film and Events Office and Prosper Portland. This panel discussion, entitled Breaking into Animation, will be followed by a special festival reception. And you'll both be there starting at 4 p.m. on Saturday, August 24th.
Absolutely. Come say hi.
Come introduce yourself. We are always looking to add more people into Women in Animation. Everyone is welcome into Women in Animation, of all genders, of all ages. It doesn't matter who you are. If you support gender equity in the industry, you are our people. Please, please come.
Reminder that all of our panelists will also be present at the networking event too. So you have a chance to speak with them, get a little bit more insight behind the scenes, and get to know people, get your name out there.
And is this right that the event is free if you join and become a member of Women in Animation?
Yes, and it is free to join Women in Animation on our website. So the event is free.
All right. You've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And we've been talking today about women in animation and the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. My guests have been Sarah Logan Hofstein and Christina Palomino. Sarah and Christina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
And for those listeners who might be interested in finding out more about women in animation, where would they look?
Our website is womeninanimation.org, right?
Mm-hmm. And that'll take you to the Portland chapter.
You can find out more information about WEA on womeninanimation.org/join. There you'll see information on membership, how to join. Your membership is donation-based, and you can donate as much or as little as you need, whatever is available and most comfortable to you.
All right. And the website for the festival is pdxfestofcinema.com. Well, thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on social media at Words and Picture.